The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners. On The Hard Shoulder.
Now, welcome to Winners and Sinners. Yes, every week we are looking back on the week that was, but with a few twists. And I'm delighted that we're joined, as always, Kieran always is, by weekend presenter on Today FM, Alison Curtis, and Off the Balls, Ger Gilroy. Happy Friday, guys.
How are you, folks?
Yay, Friday.
Thank God, Friday, as they say. So, who has won and who has sun, I guess? Who's the winners, who's the sinners? Ger, we'll start. Go on with you. Who's your first winner?
So, I'm just back from holidays. And I've finished two books that have been in my bedside locker. One of them for about 4 years and the other for about 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So, reading on holidays is my winner. Like, who doesn't like reading on holidays? And also, you kind of remember that your brain needs some triggers to work that isn't a screen.
Yeah.
It took me ages to actually get into reading the books. I had another book that I read and I just couldn't get into it. But it's almost like you're chiseling off years and years of sludge and actually being able to remember that you can do this. You can do it.
And it's quite relaxing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
How long a holiday was it now? Does this take you 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Two weeks to read 2 books. I mean,
2 books.
I used to read about 8 books on 2 weeks holidays before I had kids and they ruined my brain.
I didn't know what you were going to say there. He's a brain.
I blame phones more than I blame the kids, in fairness.
Yes, yeah.
And what was the one that had been on your shelf for 20 years?
Don DeLillo's Libra. It's the story. It's a fictionalized account of the assassination of JFK.
Oh.
Which he wrote in 1989, which was only 25 years after it actually happened.
Yeah.
Essentially, I'm not giving too much away here, his thesis is that a bunch of CIA agents were so pissed off about what happened in Cuba when he didn't back the invasion at Bay of Pigs that they put in train a series of events to have an assassination attempt, but one of the guys was like, screw the attempt, we're going to kill him, and that's what happened. I don't know if anybody watched the JFK movie. I actually really quite like the Oliver Stone version. But the book is brilliant. Like, it's just incredibly well written. It does take a little bit of work. And it's like, so you get all of Lee Harvey Oswald's upbringing, his defection to Cuba, him coming back, the other assassination attempt that he had on the right wing General Walker in Texas the year before. Incredibly well written. And then Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential was the other. Which I hadn't read.
It's good, isn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah. But that's the thing, like, you forget, like, and I knew that was going to be your winner. I was like, God, like, I think about, like, when I was in university, I used to read all the time, but that was so far back in time that there wasn't, like, Instagram, there wasn't distractions like that. And I'm the same. I will have lots of books beside the bed, and then I'll go, I'll just scroll for a little bit.
I have 10 or 12. Yeah. So I've left my phone downstairs now for the last couple of years going to bed, and it's...
Really?
Yeah, definitely. It's, like, the one bit of the day where I know I'm not going to be able to, even though I probably still turn to it.
Yeah, that's clever. That really is clever.
You know the stat about how often your phone, you pick it up. Like, your phone tells you if you look for it, but don't look for it.
Do you have an old-fashioned alarm clock then?
No, I have an Alexa, which is obviously listening to me, which is worse.
You're being spied on instead.
Get up, Jay.
Yeah, they're rubbing his thigh. Well, they have two.
The fact that you talking about that gives me anxiety. The thought of leaving my phone downstairs is probably a sad reflection
of
myself.
You have to do it. It's the only way. And it is very anxiety-inducing for a long period of time. And the first thing you do every morning is go downstairs and check the phone.
Yes.
But nothing's ever happened. And if somebody really needs you, they'll get you.
Here's my excuse. Alarm. But also, I have really bad tinnitus. And so I have like a white noise sound or something there, like a nature sound that I have to listen to. So I'd have to find another source for that.
Well, the smart speaker would work for that. I don't know if you're against the perpetual listening device.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Alexa will do that for you. It'll keep going. But then you wake up. Well, for me anyway, whenever we use that, I wake up in the middle of the night going, what in the name of God is that noise? And why is my house suddenly now filled with white noise?
I know, I'm pretty used to it now at this stage. In fact, when it shuts off or if my battery dies, I wake up instantly.
Straight away?
Yeah.
Oh no, so it needs to last the whole night.
Yeah, I know. Not good.
No. Are you pro or anti reading on a device like a Kindle?
I'm not entirely against it. I think they're brilliant. They are absolutely amazing. Like, you know, for all of the bad that the listening device in the corner has done, the other great stuff that they have done at Amazon is the Kindle, which, like, you can bring 10, 15, 20, and whatever you want is, and the kids
it's
are all
the, it's
on
the space for me is like, I'd love to bring 4 books, but I can't fit 4 books.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is.
Because I won't, I refuse to pay for a bigger bag.
Yeah, no, I do. I'm not against that. I'm just trying to reduce the amount of time I spend on screens. Kindles don't really count as screens, I think. You know, I think that they're legit.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. Alison, your winner.
Cobra Kai. Okay, stay with me on this.
Yeah, you've lost me already. I'm gone into sleep without a white noise machine.
I've tried to watch the first season.
Okay, so it starts off really so basic and hokey or whatever, but as a family, we find it hard to find something that the three of us will sit down and watch together. So, like, Joan was mad about Outer Banks. I was like, I can't watch this. And, like, Dairy Girls is something we did together. But this is, so the first episode, I was like, doing my, like complaining in the corner. And now I'm fully committed to it. Six seasons. I've only seen two, okay. Not quite two. The last one was recorded this year. So it follows on. It's a sequel from the Karate Kid movies. And I suppose because my husband had taken my daughter and some friends to the new Karate Kid movie, that's why we kind of got onto it. But it's just, it's more like, it's the story of Johnny, who's the guy that got the foot in the face in the movie, basically. And he's like a down and out kind of guy. And his lines are just so funny because he's such a, like, he's so stuck in time and his lines are funny. So he's like, when the first girl comes in to join the karate club, he's like, girls can't join this. It's like the army. They've got hollow, brittle bones. They can't join. Like, and then he's on the phone. He's like, yeah, it's open to girls and boys. Non what? So like, he's just stuck in the 80s. So there's some really good lines. And the soundtrack has made my week. So every time I'm in the car and it's called Johnny Lawrence's Badass Kick-Ass soundtrack and it's Heart, it's Fleetwood Mac's a little bit in there, but it's more like AC/DC, Foreigner, Skid Row.
Okay.
Like all of those Van Halen, Hair Rock, Poison's in there several times, AC/DC. So it's kind of all of it, the whole thing. The whole Cobra Kai experience is my winner this week.
So it's set today.
Yes. So it started in 2018.
Listening to the music that he was.
Yeah. Okay. Rightfully so, because it's really awesome.
Yeah. Have you seen it? No.
I didn't properly get into it, but you know, maybe I will.
Oh my God. It's very funny. Like it isn't like, it's not, I mean, it was nominated for Emmys because you're like, it's kind of basic or whatever, but it is actually, you get in, you get sucked in.
Okay.
And Ralph Macchio's character, Daniel's actually annoying in it. So you're like, I'm not rooting for him anymore. I'm rooting for Johnny.
Yeah.
Do you need to have seen Karate Kid? I can't. I know I watched it as a kid. I can't remember.
It would help.
Would help.
Oh, yes. The good guy wins against all odds in the end.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, I didn't see that coming.
It's an 80s movie.
1984 specifically.
Do you? What's the one that meets that Venn diagram for you of the series that you'll all watch in your house? Is there anyone?
It's really hard.
It is hard.
Well, harder for you because you have three.
So we... Young Sheldon's on in the background, right? But recently a group of my older than me friends were like, they got sucked into watching Young Sheldon. So we started to watch a bit of that and everybody can watch that.
Yeah.
The two younger ones are gagging to watch Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah.
One of them broke off into the TV the other night, age 9, and was like pale face on the couch after the first 7 minutes. And we were like, what are you watching?
Will Zoe watch it?
Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's already watched all of it. Like,
Joan
first
won't.
Time around.
She's too scared. The girls know each other.
Right.
And she's like, I won't get into it, but I want to watch it again because it's reminiscent of the 80s again. Like,
yeah.
All 80s.
That's
stuff.
A good 80s soundtrack as
well.
Yeah,
very good.
Killer.
She won't get into it.
First three seasons good. And then after that, I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It repeated itself.
Stop this. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's already dead.
Fifth season coming out anyway. Done.
Yeah, I didn't quite make it to the last. I got it to the last two episodes of whatever the last series was and gave up on it.
Yeah.
It is very samey.
The fourth season is.
Last year on holidays, the weather was terrible, so we watched a family movie every night, and some of them were slightly inappropriate. But like Speed,
judging.
They loved Speed, that was great, that kind of stuff. So I'm trying to find that, like, high octane action with not too many references to other things that are inappropriate for 9-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that.
I'm almost embarrassed to reveal the one that is in our Venn diagram at the moment is Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Right.
That's what's doing it in our house.
You probably should have kept that to yourself.
Yeah, I probably should have. Yeah, I'm going to get an awful lot of judgment.
I had to watch it for something I was doing on air. And I
had
like,
to
oh
watch it.
God.
Yeah. Don't pretend.
I wasn't sold at all.
I don't know. Mormon wives, they're wild.
There are.
You never see it coming.
Are they?
Yes.
They're pretty wild.
These particular ones
who've
made a life of being wild.
Right.
And also happen to be Mormon, maybe.
Highly entertaining
is
popcorn television.
It is. Because that's definitely click, flick, 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 flick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch in front of the kids, though.
No.
That's where I draw the line. Let them watch Stranger Things instead. Speaking of Stranger Things, Eamon Torsney has your news headlines. Welcome back to Winners and Sinners. We have been talking about our different winners, and I've made some very embarrassing revelations about what we're watching at home. We're going to skip right over that to Sinners. I assume I fall into that category very firmly after that. But anyway, Jer, your Sinner of the Week.
So ChatGPT, right? Everybody uses ChatGPT for something at some stage.
I actually never used it.
Have you not?
No. That probably is a bad reflection on me, though.
That's probably a good reflection on you that you.
I'm just so
you're
creative,
a critical
guys.
Thinker.
I don't need it.
Yeah. Well, the good folks at MIT, the Media Lab there, which is obviously a storied, very important university in Boston have done a survey, and they have found that if you are a regular user of ChatGPT, there's a strong chance that it is damaging your brain. I mean, I may have slightly overrepresented or overegged their findings there, but so they got 54 18 to 39 year olds from Boston, three separate groups. One of them was going to do, so they're asking them to write SAT essays, so leaving cert essays, not quite, but similar, yeah. Right? Hmm. You're going to use ChatGPT, another one's going to have access to Google search engine, and the other ones are going to have nothing. Mm-hmm. And the ones who were using OpenAI's ChatGPT, they did it over a 3 month period. As time went on, they got lazier and lazier and lazier. The first time they would like get ChatGPT to write them an essay, and then they'd fix it a bit, and then they'd submit it. By the end, they were like, Control A, Control C, Control V, Star Wipe, and we're done. Live back. Thanks very much. While they were doing these essays, MIT rigged up gear to map out the brain activity. And the brain activity, essentially, right? Again, you know, that's not how they would have written it down. But yes, over that period of time, constant use of ChatGPT, not good for you. The ones who had nothing, their brains were firing and making them. Now, maybe they just got the smart people to do that. You know, yeah. Did they control this for like, well,
Your math's not very bright anyway. Yeah.
Exactly. So this isn't fully peer reviewed, but the woman who did it is like so concerned by the findings, mm-hmm, that they're publishing them now and saying, we're going to get to the peer review, but hasten softly when it comes to it. And then the other thing is that they've found that people who use ChatGPT regularly are lonelier than the rest of the population.
Oh.
So you know the way it's supposed to be a cure for loneliness? You're going to have this kind of weird android bot in your life who will, I'll get to know you.
They're surprised.
Calmly talk to you.
That wouldn't be surprising, right? It's the whole thing about isolation on the phones, all that kind of stuff. Like, surely.
This, when somebody says this to you, it's obvious, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So put down the ChatGPT.
Or never use it.
Well, in the first place. Yeah. Never jump on the back. Stay off the bandwagon firmly. Was the writing any good, though?
No.
Like, did they get a better score in the essay from ChatGPT?
Was the writing any good? I'm just going to try and find the exact. It was soulless.
Oh. Not great.
No.
Yeah. So it didn't do well. It was less creative than the other ones. The essays were largely soulless. The EEGs revealed low executive control and attentional engagement. Mm. For the third essay, many of the writers simply gave the prompt to ChatGPT and had to do all the work.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I'm kind of conflicted on it because, like, surely ChatGPT, what a lot of people use it for is those menial tasks. Like, do you know what I started putting into it? It was manage my finances for me.
Right.
Make up a plan. Here's my monthly salary. I need to save X amount for a holiday or whatever it was. Do up a plan. And it was pretty brilliant.
Was it good?
It was better than anything I'd have thought of.
Right.
And still allowed you to live a little. It literally was like, here, you have X amount of euro to buy your groceries, budget X amount for bills, budget X amount for saving, put another bit into an emergency fund, like in seconds.
I'm sure it does obviously serve a purpose, but I suppose it's like controlling it yourself and, you know, not doing what that first group of people did.
I think they're obviously specifically talking here about critical thinking in teenagers and people who are kind of still at the point where they're developing their brain. For those menial tasks, I think that's 100% correct.
Like, your brain is developed.
Well, that's debatable. That's highly, highly debatable. Alison, you're a sinner.
This pains me, guys. Jeremy Allen White. So the trailer for the new Bruce Springsteen biopic is been released yesterday. So it's not going to be, we're not going to be able to see it till October. But I watched it a couple of times. I'm a massive Springsteen fan, massive. And I was just like, man, like this is, they put brown contacts on Jeremy. That's it. Like it's just, they didn't even really get the hair right. So it's set at a time when Bruce is recording Nebraska, his sixth album, and he's 33 and Jeremy Allen White is currently 33, apparently. I would have thought a little older, but anyway.
Looks well.
Just sideburns, maybe, like his stature, like his frame, like he's a small man, so it was the boss. But I don't know, but apparently Bruce was regular on set, loved it. They played back Jeremy's vocals for songs, and like Born to Run, he did sound good there, because I was like, is that him or is that Springsteen? It was actually Jeremy. So Bruce himself was like, I can't tell if that's me or him, like apparently. So he's obviously going to want to back the film. And like, look, we saw last year how well Timothy Chalamet did, you know, in the Bob Dylan film. But I just, I'm saddened. I'm like, I wanted to love this so much because I love him and I've read all his books, but I'm just not buying Jeremy as the boss.
And what about, because the hair, I just wondered, was the hair like a different era Bruce that I didn't know
it
about?
It looked more like Bob Dylan's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't look like.
It looked like Jeremy Allen White's hair. Yeah. It just didn't really change it at all.
Yeah, and his face, like there is one shot where he's like in, you know, in the 80s, like born or 70s, like where Bruce was wearing the cutoff shirt. And there's like, there is a one still of Jeremy Allen White where you're like, oh, it does look like Bruce. But for the majority of the trailer, just wasn't buying it, guys. Mm. And it's disappointing.
Was Chalamet good?
I didn't see it.
Ah, okay.
Even though I've got 8 Oscar nominations.
Right. I didn't see it either.
That's yeah. Three for three. Haven't seen it.
I'm going to be in trouble here, but I'm not a massive Dylan fan.
Okay.
So, whereas I would be drawn to this naturally because I love.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Strong is playing John Lando, his long-term partner. And so we, Bruce fans will know what John is like, I suppose. But if you don't, maybe that's the bonus for Jeremy Strong. He's like, I'm doing a great job because nobody knows what John's really like. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to still watch it, of course. But we have to wait till October.
Yeah. Did you have a look at the trailer to watch the thing?
I did just watch the trailer coming in. Like, I do like both of the Jeremys.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be drawn to that.
Yeah.
But I'm not generally drawn to the musical biopics because I always feel that they're a bit like, well, you can't do this. You can't do justice to...
Yeah. And I suppose what they wanted to do with this one is they wanted it to like specifically be a period of time. So like it was post all the big successes for like the, you know, started to sell the huge album. So, you know, Bruce himself was like, I'm going to pare everything down. And Nebraska is like a pared down album. And the record label was like, oh, this isn't what you're making money for. This is totally different. And like, you got to stick with it. So they did choose that period of his life.
Yeah, because there's a shot where he's filming or recording in like a hotel room, isn't
yeah.
it? It's just not really much of a setup. It's just him and a mic and a guitar.
Yeah, yeah, which is what happened.
Right.
It's also the story of him and his dad.
Yes.
Again, I tried to read it. It's one of those books that I tried to read. I started and was like, it should be pretty easy.
Beside the bed.
Like, it's kind of written in very short chapters, but I got way late. Is the relationship with the dad big in the book?
Yeah, it is. Okay. And Stephen Graham playing the dad, which he can do no wrong. So yeah.
He said Bruce himself said he was kind of uncomfortable with being on set for those bits, didn't he?
Yeah.
It
was tough. Like
it must
like,
be weird.
Upbringing was, yeah, was tough. But no, I'll definitely watch it still. And I feel badly because I do like Jeremy so much in The Bear, but I'm just not buying him as the boss.
Yeah. I wonder how much pressure it would be if you are portraying someone and they're regularly on set.
Oh, you can't be doing
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Looking over your shoulder.
Yeah. Off you go. No.
But also alive. Thanks. Like, it's fine. It's fine to portray someone when they've gone. They can't have an opinion.
You can't libel the dead, as it is often said. Okay, we're going to be back with our sort of any other business for Winners and Sithers after this short break.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome back to the show. Sean Defoe here with Winners and Sinners. I'm joined as always by Alison Curtis and Ger Gilroy. Ger, your holidays have very much coloured everything you want to talk about this week.
Didn't do any work for preparation this week. It was like, I'm looking to see you. This is like first day back at school where you're like, oh, this is what
you
I did my holidays. And I also don't want to sound like the most stereotypical, annoying whatever, who comes back from holidays and goes, well, it's very cheap over there, isn't it? But it was $1.20 for an espresso in Italy and the coffee was amazing.
Yes.
And I just had a €4 espresso macchiato on South William Street. And I'm like, that seems a little excessive.
Yeah.
On a cost per volume basis, that's essentially the same price as gold.
Yeah. Remind me what the difference between an espresso and espresso macchiato is.
There's a little bit of fluff on the top.
Right. It's expensive fluff.
Well, it's just the milky bit. No, I think it would have been $3.60 without it. So 40 cents for the fluff.
Yeah,
milky fluff.
Well, that,
in fact, that's bargain fluff. But the actual espresso itself—that's a lot.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it is, isn't it? I'm not just being like, "Oh man, sheds a cloud here." Am I?
No. And I mean, like economics, whatever. I don't get it at all. But like, how can they justify? How can it be so different? Is it a population thing?
And I mean, obviously. So this was in Siena, which is a bit of a tourist trap. Like,
but still,
it does seem like there's a slight... It's South William Street, the rates are high.
Yeah.
There's all those young people drinking on the street, ruining their business. And I don't know. I'm sure it is much more difficult to run a business in Dublin at the moment with the cost of
rent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that wasn't just one place in Italy that had that price basically everywhere you went.
Especially when it's a touristy area as well.
Yeah.
Like if you hit like a small mountain village, you'd be expecting. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But we're a tourist trap. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't like it. I was just after coming back from Drury Street and I paid $9.50 for two coffees. And it's like, really? Once we hit that tenner mark, I might be gone paying for coffees when I meet people.
I know, but then they have to fix what we're having in here.
Yeah, that's true. In fairness.
Swings and roundabouts. Well, you're just going to have to bring your own.
Yeah.
Make your own and then, you know, then we can all be.
People do that. Have you seen the amount of people walking around the office, the little percolators lately?
Oh, really? On the weekend, I would bring...
multiple French presses.
That's you, actually.
Yeah,
we talked about that.
Loads, yeah.
On the weekend, I would bring in a double coffee in a flask and that's what I would have when I'm on air.
Homemade.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always better
homemade. No offense. Are we going to get fired for this?
Did any of you have one of those fancy coffee machines at home?
I don't. I have been looking into, I think, recently got a gift of a secondhand Nespresso and it's actually fine.
Mm-hmm.
It is fine, which is not what my expectation was. I thought this was going to be muck. I do have like the proper put on
the mocha pot things, is it?
The Italian, whatever they're called.
The stovetop,
I've got those. Also have an AeroPress.
Yeah.
Got a lot of the paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't spent the 350 quid on the Sage yet. But
best 350 quid you'll ever spend.
Really?
We hummed and hawed for ages like that. We're like, this is too much money to spend on a treat. And then we did it. And honest to God.
But it's like something you're having every day.
Every morning.
So per cup.
Yeah.
Cost
per cup, it's paid for itself.
Exactly.
Especially if you're buying
cost per wear, cost per use.
Yeah,
it's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Alison.
So it's kind of back to online stuff, but baby AI, this was not happening on my feed on Instagram that much until this week. And now it'll happen all the time because it's listening to me. But it's everybody turning, it started off as like babies talking on podcasts. And it's only a few weeks ago this trend started, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. But now it's all famous scenes from, I'm sure you've both seen it.
Yeah.
Famous scenes and now politicians as well. And it's like, what is this? And why is this happening? And why do people like this? And it's just growing and growing and growing. So I want baby AI to go away. That could have been my sinner, actually. I want it to go away. I don't want to look at it anymore. It's not funny. It's not creative. I just want it to go away.
What about it is just you find it a bit creepy?
It is kind of creepy. And it's just like my own baby was cute. And I liked looking at real babies from time to time. But this baby AI, like, no.
It's like the new version of your friend showing pictures like, that you don't really want of their kid.
Phoebe and Ross's babies. I don't want to. Why would I want to look at that?
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's
kind of
it.
Like, AI is great. It's like, well, what? I don't know what's happening. Are we being softened up for something here?
Yeah.
Remember, there was definitely a couple of years ago, they got everybody to put their photographs and faces.
Yes.
And then it turned out that they were harvesting those photographs for facial recognition stuff. And you're like, oh, okay. So I always wonder about what the big tech companies are actually doing when these trends happen. Not that I'm a conspiracy theorist, having read a great book about a conspiracy.
on the positive note.
Yeah,
it's fed into your thinking. It does feel all... The one that got me was Joe Rogan, baby Joe Rogan, with the adult voice just sort of...
Yeah.
That did it for me.
Like, why would you want to look at that?
No. And every so often, I think AI is going to take over the world, and then something like this comes and dominates. I think actually we're probably okay.
For now.
For another little while. For a few more minutes. Alison Curtis, Jerry Gilroy, thanks a minute for joining us with Winners and Sinners.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.